We pray. Father God, as we bring your word before the souls assembled here today, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in that word. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will call us to a new commitment, a deeper commitment, and maybe even a recommitment to serving you in your blessed kingdom. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I was looking at some verses as to what we could use for our theme today, for the confirmation of Ethan and Greg, I felt that the words from 1 Peter chapter 5, if you've got your Bibles with you, we'll start at verse 5, would be rather appropriate, as they have come before you and the Lord today and vow to remain faithful to the teachings of the Christian church. So we begin at verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, younger ones, be subject to older ones. And all being subject to one another, put on humility. For God resists the proud ones, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humbled under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety onto him, for he cares for you. Be sensible and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking someone he may devour. Whom firmly resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions in the world are being completed in your brotherhood. But the God of all grace, he calling us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, he will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. The word of our Lord. This portion of 1 Peter seemed fitting to me for Greg and Ethan and all who have ever been confirmed for that matter, because there's some good advice in here for all of us. And we start right out with, likewise, younger men, younger ones, be subject to the older ones. And I can just hear Greg and Ethan going, oh, great, if the old children should be seen and not heard trick again. Yeah. Well, you know, at first glance, it may appear to be like that, but really, this is not talking about our biological age. We're talking here about spiritual maturity and the authority that goes with the office of elder. The idea being that as elders of a congregation, they ought to have a proven track record of godly living as a result of their own submission to the authority of God and his word. That's where the elders get their experience from. That's where they get their walk from, their talk from, and that's where they get their qualifications from, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in God's word. And so the elders ought to be spiritually mature. And the spiritually young and less mature Christians of a congregation should look to the elders for guidance and correction as the elder brings the word of God to play in their various situations. And so we can read a couple of things into this passage. We see here that even though Greg and Ethan are being confirmed today, that this is not the end, guys. This is kind of like another beginning for you, if you will. You are to now start engaging in the process of becoming spiritually mature yourselves. And one of the ways you do that is you feel free to come to the spiritual elders of this congregation for their counsel and then be willing to receive it. And every one of us have the responsibility of seeking to grow in our spiritual maturity. Every one of us should be seeking to live godly lives, trusting God and his word, and that we might earn the trust and the confidence of the younger, the less mature in the faith, and help them as they work out their salvation. I, for one, have been extremely blessed by meeting with Greg and Ethan over the past 14 months, using our confirmation book as a guide and more like a springboard, I guess, for discussions. I have poured out that which I know to be true before them. And my prayer is that they have learned some things along the way, and some seeds have been planted that will help you young men mature in the faith while facing the many temptations of the world. But I've learned from them as well. And the most important thing I feel that I've learned is that while their generation may not talk exactly the same language as our generation does when it comes to matters of faith, oh my, sometimes I just had to shake my head and laugh, but they have a wonderful, refreshing view of Jesus. And if you don't believe me, ask them to share their testimony with you. You know, sometime today, just ask them, what does Jesus mean to them? Very refreshing. It's so great to see them develop in their personal relationship with Jesus. Well, Peter then goes on to talk about the responsibility of members of the body of Christ, the responsibility that we have to serve one another. Guess what, guys? Now that you're confirmed, well, I'm talking to you. And all being subject to one another, put on humility, for God resists proud ones, but he gives grace to the humble. So now, as you both enter more deeply into congregational life here at Living Word, you're not going to like this. You are to have the attitude of a slave. Oh, I get that all the time at home. I don't need to be a slave here too. Well, maybe not quite the same idea of slavery, but you are to place your time, your talent, and your treasure at the disposal of those here in the congregation at Living Word. Put on the garb of humility like Jesus did when he washed the feet of his disciples, the clothing of a slave. Bind yourselves more deeply to the members of Living Word with humble service to each other. See a need? You can't ignore it anymore. You've got to respond to it. And again, the challenge for the rest of the congregation. This is always before us. Are we illustrating that kind of service to our confirmands? Have they seen that kind of service in action here at Living Word? I hope so. Peter says that without that kind of an attitude, God resists us. He will array himself against the plans and purposes of the church simply because we have decided to put ourselves above serving one another. Therefore, be humbled, Peter says, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Now, remember the idea of humility here. It's to place yourself at the disposal of others. Therefore, we read here that we must slavishly put ourselves under the hand of God. He is our master. We are at his service. What he tells us to do in his word, we must do. What he tells us not to do in his word, we are not to do. We are to be surrendered to him. I got to tell you, this week, I was asking God that he would give me a new word for surrender. It became clear to me Thursday morning that I'm not using a good word there. When we talk about what it is to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I prayed, God, give me another word. And boy, God answered that prayer so quickly. I wish all my prayers would be answered that quickly. But he gave me a word that very night when we were in group. Rather than saying surrender, because that sometimes can be confusing. The word he gave me comes from Psalm 31:5, which reads, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." Commit. Not surrender, but commit. See, Jesus doesn't want our intellectual faith. Actually, he doesn't even just want it. He wants our heart. He wants us to commit to him. And when we commit our rebellious spirit to him, that's when he can start doing business with us. That's when he begins to recognize us. On the last day, he will not say to the one who has committed to him, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Now, what I'm about to say is going to sound risky and foolish, but it's loaded with truth. If you have, by the grace of God, truly committed your spirit to him, I dare you to sit there and do nothing about it. I dare you to continue in willful sin. I dare you to not have godly sorrow over your sin. I dare you to not try and do good works. I double dare you. Risky? Not at all. Because these things are the evidence of a heart that has been committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Greg and Ethan, on this, your confirmation day, make it a day of commitment. Commit your spirit today into his loving hands. And for the congregation, make this a day of recommitment. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, because if you do, he promises that he will exalt you in due time. And on the last day, when he calls your name, he will say, "Oh, well done, thy good and faithful servant." And now you know, it isn't easy to humble ourselves under his hand, is it? Obedience to God's word may create uncomfortable circumstances in your life. According to the world standards, anyway. Guys, you're going to take a lot of grief if you do this. You're going to take a lot of grief from your peers in school. You're going to take a lot of grief from people on the street. But I guarantee you that if you commit your lives to him, true joy and true peace will be yours. When you follow his way, and not the ways of the world. I was so thankful last week that several men in the congregation came and spoke to these men, these young men. And I hope you always remember what they had to say. You weren't just getting it from the pastor, were you? You were getting it from other men who've been out there. How they said that the regrets that they had for allowing the world to cause them to get careless with their faith. And the thankfulness that they expressed for God's grace in calling them back into the faith and keeping them. And how Mike shared how he, all through his life, by God's grace, he's been walking with him, and what a difference it's made. You see, Greg and Ethan, you don't have to be like the majority of confirmands. You don't have to walk away from your faith. Commit your spirit to him today. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you, it says in verse 7. And what are these cares that we are to cast upon Him? Well, they are anything that would distract you from serving Him and Him alone. Cast your distractions on Him. Perhaps you've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. And it's worth starting out every day with this reminder. Good morning, this is God. I'll be handling all your problems today. I'll be handling all your distractions, all your burdens, whatever you want to call them. I'll take care of them today. You just unload on me. Unload your sins daily. Don't ever weary of coming before the Lord on a daily basis, confessing your sins and receiving His blessed forgiveness, thanking Him for His saving grace, and then simply go out the door as a humble servant, looking for ways that He would have you serve Him wherever He has placed you. And then in verse 8 He says, be sensible and vigilant. It's hard to imagine Greg and Ethan as being vigilant. Maybe on the paintball court, right? Huh? Maybe in practicing guitar? Vigilant. Vigilant supreme. No doubt about it. Yeah. But I think these guys, if you let them alone, they'd sleep till noon every day, wouldn't they? Huh? Was that not the hardest part of confirmation, having to sit on a comfortable couch and staying awake? But seriously, Greg and Ethan, this is so important. Be vigilant. Be sensible. A lot of temptation is going to come your way. That's not very sensible. Stand firm in what you know to be true. And be vigilant. Now more than ever. Because the devil walks around like whom he may devour. And how does a lion go after its prey? He always looks for the weak. Always looks for the one out on the fringe. The isolated. And then he isolates them and moves in for the kill. The safest place to be in a lion attack is in the middle of the herd. Look around you. This is your herd. Don't hang out on the fringe, guys. Get involved with others here at Living Word. Participate in the fellowship events. Come to the youth Bible studies and the adult Sunday school classes. You are a part of this congregation. We love you. We care for you. We're concerned for you. We want you to grow in the grace of God. Worship together. Love together. Encourage together. Work together. And if you see someone edging toward the fringe, do your best as a friend and a member of the herd to surround them with the love and care and concern of Jesus, and seek to bring them back in. You know, most of us were confirmed in a lot larger classes than yours. You should have a fairly easy time remembering who your classmates were in your confirmation class. But I challenge you in the years ahead to keep in touch. Ethan, you make sure Greg doesn't get out on the fringe. Greg, you watch over Ethan. Make sure he doesn't get isolated and become an easy target. And for the congregation, you have the same challenge to watch over these young men and to watch over each other so that we don't become on the fringe and isolated and easy prey for the devil. But the God of all grace, He calling us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, He will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the glory and the might forever and ever. Amen. Well, finally, even though it says on your confirmation certificate that you were confirmed by Pastor Matz, understand and know who really does the confirming. Ephesians 2:8 really comes into play here. It's by grace you've been saved through faith, not your own doing, not by your own works. I didn't confirm you. If God used me in any way to plant seeds, to give you some wisdom, may He get all the glory. I'm thankful. But always remember, it's God who perfects, confirms, strengthens, and establishes you. And this He promises to do, Ethan and Greg, if you commit your heart to Him. And He promises to do the same for each and every one of you here, if you commit your heart to Him. Make this a day of recommitment. Make this day of a commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.